Hello and welcome back to another episode of the NFL in Review here. It's week six of the NFL season. A very exciting week this week, a sloppy week this week, and a little bit of everything from all these teams. I'm here with my good friend Connor Cavanaugh once again after a one-week hiatus, but we're back and, you know, couldn't be better. And we got to get into this, man. Real quickly, primetime games. They suck. They suck. Any takeaways from this game other than, you know, Brian Robinson coming back, getting a nice touchdown, seeing him, it's a good story, the whole thing. He got back faster than Keenan Allen's hamstrings, so, and he got shot twice. That's always a good takeaway from the kid. So that's nice to see. But Carson Wentz is injured. What are your opinions on the Commanders and just Carson Wentz now going forward?
Yeah, it was another game, but in terms of Carson Wentz, I mean, this definitely hurts the offense. I hear some people, you know, asking if it's a good or bad thing, you know, that he's hurt, and it's definitely a bad thing. It limits your offense. Heinicke does not have the arm strength or skill or, you know, ability that Carson Wentz has, and it limits your offense. They're going to have to run the ball a lot better moving forward with Carson out, and they've run the ball pretty well through 6 weeks, but they're going to need to do a really good job of running the football to be competitive. So I think it definitely obviously hurts the Commanders, but, you know, they gutted out a really crappy win in Chicago when Chicago had two red zone opportunities in the first quarter that they didn't capitalize on. So,
yeah, same old story for Chicago and both, and really just both the teams lately. Just sloppy play and really nothing to show offensively. We'll move on quickly here, man. Let's get into a game that I found very interesting here. The Falcons 49ers. So earlier, a couple weeks ago, you know, I stated the Falcons offense has some legit talent around it. And if that team performs, doesn't throw games away late, which, again, the Falcons have done, they can win games. And they won a really big game here for them. They're 3-3 now at this point. Same with the 49ers. They took them down 28-14. Now, the 49ers had almost their entire defense. There was injuries everywhere up and down the defense. But they took advantage, man, and looked pretty good. I don't know about you, but they looked pretty good. Marcus Mariota did his thing.
Yeah, you alluded to it, and you know the secondary is absolutely decimated right now for San Francisco. But you know, with that being said, you know, not a lot of people, you know, have talked this year about, you know, Atlanta and, you know, really anything about them. And you know, neither have we. I mean, they're not really, you know, a topic in the NFL right now. And you know, they came out and they looked really good offensively. Kyle Pitts finally got in the end zone, like you alluded to. Mariota was really good, really sound. And then for, you know, the 49ers, they were able to score a couple times early to, you know, keep pace. But then, you know, the offense kind of just died out. The run game was not there for them. And, you know, a good win for, you know, the Falcons at home, you know, against a beat up but a very good 49ers team.
Yeah, definitely. Now, speaking of the injuries on the 49ers, right, they look sloppy. This team is expected to be a playoff team. And does this give you really any worry about, you know, what this has been a couple of years now with these injuries in their secondary, middle of the seasons where they kind of are going up and then hit the plateau and start roller coastering downhill, and it kind of just falls off the train. But now, since they have to run on Jimmy G here, and these guys are what they are, the offense has to step up to what I don't know what that offense is capable of if they have no defense right now. And if that's going to be an issue for the rest of the season, I don't know how many more wins they're going to get under their belt where their offense can overtake a game. Because Atlanta is a team where you need that offense to take down that defense. That defense is poor, and they didn't look poor this week. They made themselves look worse than they are. And for 49ers, it's kind of, you know, it's scary because we can't lose games like this. I know, you know, you had the odds stacked against you with your injuries, but your offense is going to have to step up, and they all know it. And if they're not going to, I don't know how many more wins they have on their schedule that's going to get them to where they want to be.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not as worried, about the defense. You know, they've looked really good the past couple of weeks, you know, coming into this week, and they are really banged up. So I'm going to hold judgment, you know, on the defense for a couple more weeks, get to see some guys back before, you know, I make any rash decisions, you know, in terms of how I think about their defense. But offensively, this was definitely a concerning game. I mean, Jimmy G did throw two touchdowns, you know, both to Brandon Ayuk, and, you know, Ayuk, Kittle, and Debo were all, you know, pretty involved. But he also did throw two interceptions. They had the fumble by Wilson, and Wilson did not look good all day long. to me, that's the biggest concern, because even though, you know, they're still waiting on, you know, Eli Mitchell to return, you know what the 49ers going into a game, whoever is in the backfield, what they're trying to do with that offensive line and with the scheming from Shanahan. So this, to me, was a little bit concerning that they had absolutely no luck in Atlanta running the football, not even a little.
They ran the ball 13 times. Jeff Wilson had 7 carries, 25 yards, and a loss of fumble. There's nothing there.
Nothing.
You know, sometimes you expect your guy like Debo, who's playing kind of both roles a little bit, more wide receiver than anything this year, which is what he is.
Mm-hmm.
He didn't get anything going in the backfield. They didn't really play anything for him too much back behind the sticks. It was nice to see George Kittle get a good game in. But, yeah, without a running game in that team, Jimmy Garoppolo is not a quarterback that's going to take you above and beyond and, you know, go ask and go out there and make them throw you to a win. So it's a tough week. I think you're right. I mean, I'm over exaggerating a little bit, but you're right. They're banged up. They got to just, you know what? Hey, chalk it up. It was a rough week for us. We didn't put up points. We are decimated. Get healthy. Go back next week and see what you can do against who they play next week. Who the 49ers play next week?
Kansas City.
Oh, jeez. All right.
So,
well,
you know, this game definitely hurts because
it does hurt. Yeah. You know, it hurts.
Very good chance that, you know, Kansas City's going to be able to handle you. And now you're looking at 2 straight losses below 500. Then there might be a little bit of time for concern in San Francisco. So this was definitely a big loss for them.
Yeah, man. And you know what? I'm a Jimmy G guy,
mm-hmm.
to be honest with you. He's a cool guy. But it's just really up to their offense at this point because for however long, teams know the 49ers recipe, and if teams are going to stack against that recipe, no matter what team, Falcons especially, if they're going to be able to figure that out, these better teams are going to be able to figure that out too, and you're not going to be able to move the football very much. So, moving on, the Patriots-Browns, that's a big game for me. I like the Patriots in this game. They won 38-15, which is in blowout fashion. I like the Patriots in this game. I liked what they did last week against the Detroit Lions offense and shut down their running game, shut down basically everything that they have done really, really well. And they did it again here against Cleveland. There was no running game to be found in Cleveland. Their guys, 52 yards for Mr. Nick Chubb. Kareem Hunt didn't do a whole lot at all. And Bailey Zappe looked like a QB1. You know, it's crazy.
Yeah. You know, you said it, and with Bill Belichick defenses, what is the thing that they do best? They take your strength away from you. That's what they did. I mean, Nick Chubb, like you said, was limited. Kareem Hunt didn't do anything. And the Browns run the crap out of the football. They run it down your throat, and that's how they win games. And Belichick's defense just completely took it away from them, and they were almost anemic offensively, you know, because of it. And then in terms of Bailey Zappe, I mean, he's looked really good, you know. And, you know, obviously, you know, a couple weeks into, you know, Mac Jones's, you know, starts last year, you kind of saw a little bit of the same. So, you know, I don't know, you know, I think we, you know, again, should maybe chill on, you know, him replacing, you know, Mac Jones.
I don't know, man.
But, you know, Zappe has looked really good, and he's given, you know, this team 2 really good outings to, you know, to keep New England, you know, in it right now with their quarterback out.
I got to be honest with you. How much better really is Mac Jones?
I don't know.
Seriously. Mac Jones, we all kind of figure he's just kind of what he is. Bailey Zappi's 23. Mac Jones is older than him. I'm pretty sure Mac Jones is older than Bailey Zappe. I you can fact check me if you like on that. I'm not exactly sure. But, listen, man. If you're New England, you're not all about the number one overall pick guy. You have to stick to your guts. It's whatever works out for you. That's how the recipe of success has worked for that franchise.
Just so you know, Mac 24, Zappe 23.
Okay, so yeah. So Zappy's younger. But not that that matters too much. Just interesting just to see. Bailey Zappe's looked very... You said it last week. You're the one who told me last week he looked pretty decent, and he looked good this week. He looked good. And Cleveland's not a slouch defensively. They're not at all. They have a good line. Their secondary's not too bad. But he really did what he had to do. He helped them get themselves in a good situation. He had a great running game beside him. Ramondre Stevenson without Damien Harris absolutely looks elite for them. He scored 2 touchdowns. But I think this game is Bailey Zappe and just Bill Belichick's defense. That's my 2 biggest takeaways here. Because he looked like... I mean... Mac Jones isn't a guy who's going to go out there and throw you a bunch of yards. Not that Billy Zappe does this. This is obviously his first week doing this. But under this scheme and what he's asking for with the guys he has to throw to, which, you know, is not a bunch of nothing, but it's not anything special. He looked really good with this receiving core. And he looked like he had chemistry with these guys. Now he's been playing with them for 2 weeks, practicing with them. But if you're Bill Belichick, he doesn't care what anyone's feelings are. No. He doesn't care. If he wants to go to a guy that he thinks is better, he'll go to him.
Yeah.
I wouldn't be surprised if Bailey Zappe, when Mac Jones comes back, is the starting quarterback until something else might happen. I wouldn't really be surprised.
Yeah.
I'm not saying it would happen, but...
The only thing I will say is these two games, they've run the ball really well.
They did. Stevenson
was really good on Sunday. And, you know, that makes it a lot easier, especially for, you know, a rookie quarterback. So I'd like to see, you know, maybe a game where they are not very effective running the football and see how he, you know, reacts and see how he looks, you know, against a defense who, you know, doesn't have to, you know, really, really guard against, you know, the run on every single play. But you're right. He has looked really good.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, I'm just spitballing, seeing what sticks. But it's one of those years right now, man, for like a lot of these quarterbacks that are just, you got to play. Now, the league this year is competitive, you know. Especially in the NFC, I can't believe the NFC East, but you guys, any quarterbacks that step up, they're going to play, and it's tough luck, I feel, and especially New England, in that division especially, they're 3-3, it's a big win for them, because Patriots they're always an underdog team every year, they're kind of they just fly under the radar with what their roster is and how it's built, and their system works, so I'm just excited to see. I'm not a giant Mac Jones fan, to be honest with you. So, I would like to see Billy Zappe get another start, and maybe he will if Mac Jones isn't healthy, but none of that, because there's another game and a team that really has surprised everybody, I think, in the NFL, in the New York Football Giants, who are now 5-1 on the year. They have beaten the Ravens. They have beaten the Packers. They clutched up 2 times during the year against the Titans to look better. And I don't know what your opinions are, man, but the team looks like... That defense and just how they play for Dable looks like they can, you know, go contend for some games every game they're in.
Yeah, they're competing. I mean, in the NFL, coaching is very important. And we see, you know, in a couple of, you know, the other, you know, major sports, it's not, you know, as big of a deal. Coaching is a big part of, you know, the NFL. And, you know, we're seeing a perfect example of it right now. I mean, Brian Dable has his guys humming right now. They're playing with a ton of confidence. Defensively, they look really good.
Goodness.
I mean, you know, you hold Lamar to, you know, to 20 points, you know, you're going to have a good shot, you know, to win that ball game, you know, especially with Baltimore's defense not looking, you know, superb, you know, so far, you know, this year. So, you know, they had the 27-yard, you know, the interception, you know, 27-yard return brought to the one for Saquon to run it in to win the game. And they're just playing with a ton of confidence. The crowd, you know, is really getting up there. You know, in New York, they're feeling it too, and it's just really good vibes, for, you know, for the Giants right now. And, you know, it's all behind, you know, the back of Saquon. I mean, Jones is, you know, he's looking, you know, okay as a manager, as a guy who's
not making,
you know,
mistakes,
going to run the offense. But you're right, he's not making mistakes, and that's been the problem with him. So, you know, they're playing good football. You know, I gotta hand it to them. And you know, I hate the Giants, but you know, they're playing good football, and you know, the vibe there is really good right now.
Yeah, at some point, you gotta give flowers where flowers are due, and
yep,
they've deserved it. You know, they've shut it up every week. They've played good football, even though we don't expect them to play good football. I think the whole world figured they were gonna lose this game. Tough one. You know, they come out a couple big wins the last couple weeks. They come out of London, go surprise the Green Bay Packers, come back home maybe down to earth. But no. They really stuck with it, but this is another week.
Another blown lead.
Where they blew another lead for the, I'm sorry, holy, all over the place. The Ravens and Lamar, who now in 2 weeks has made 2 poor decisions at end of games.
Yep.
What does that come down to? Why does that keep occurring? Because he's had a great start to the year, and his end games and the inability to put games away is really going to start showing up to national media, it already is, and showing up to his coach that he's not putting games away. You need your MVP guy that they think he is, and he thinks of himself as to not pick up a fumble and just toss it downfield at the end of a game when you have on your first play to make a comeback drive.
Yeah.
And do nothing with it. It's poor. This is all, once again, this game is on Lamar. He missed a couple throws in this game. He had guys. Mark Andrews had a big game again, but his wide receivers were just not involved. This has been the story of that team and that franchise for a few years,
mm-hmm.
especially with Lamar Jackson. They don't use their wide receivers effectively as they should. They didn't have Rashad Bateman this week, but they had Devin Duvernay, who's been good for them, and he had one catch. The guys just didn't show up, and it's on Lamar to get them to show up. He's the only one who can throw them the football, and he's making silly mistake after silly mistake now, end of games and fourth quarters, turnovers, just trying to do too much. And I think this is more, I don't know, do you think this is more on a Ravens side of thing or more the Giants just being who they have been so far this year and surprising people?
Ooh, that's a tough one. I think it's a little bit of both, but if I had to pick one, it's got to be more Baltimore. I mean, Baltimore should be 6-0 right now. They should be right up there with the Philadelphia Eagles right now as an undefeated team. They're 3-3. They're .500 right now. Lamar Jackson, you know, you're trying to get a bag. You're an MVP, you know, winner. You have to be better than this, especially coming off a nice gritty win on Sunday Night Football against a rival, you know, really good Bengals team. This should have been a game that, you know, you came out, you know, fiery and, you know, you're .500 when you should be 6-0. So this is on Lamar for me. It's on
it
Lamar.
Absolutely is.
And, you know, kudos to the Giants. And I already sang their praises, but I mean, Lamar's just got to be better in the fourth quarter.
Yeah, he does. The Giants are getting enough love. You know, they're fine. The fans are loving it. Everyone's loving it. They're getting enough love. It's good to see. It is good to see. I mean, Justin Tucker missed a field goal in this game, which that was something. You don't see Justin Tucker make field goals. Not that that made any difference at all, because they still need to go do a job. But you can't keep blowing leads. It's the NFL. Teams are going to, no matter what team you're playing, they're going to capitalize on you either letting up, just not finishing, not executing plays. And that's just two out of the last 3 weeks now where he has shot himself in the foot, and they've shot themselves in the foot in a win column twice. Yeah. But that's the nature of the beast, man. There's some guys in this league that never figured out. And the last couple of years, it's been the Ravens and Lamar Jackson.
Mm-hmm.
This is his year to figure it out. He hasn't done it yet. So it's either he steps up and goes back to what his early week form was, or it's going to be the same thing, and that he might not be on Baltimore next year. We'll see where he goes.
Yeah.
Which is interesting. But I spoke about the Packers Vince the Giants earlier, and I want to go back to it. What is the Packers? What are they? The Jets just went into Lambeau and shut down Aaron Rodgers. He did nothing. The offense was stale. They couldn't move the football at all. It's like the Jets had all the juice, all the momentum the entire game, and never let up. I don't know what to take away from this game, man. But because the Jets, who are 4-2, got to give them credit. They look good. Their defense has been their best weapon, for sure. But this is a bad look. Green Bay can't be losing like this.
Yeah, they haven't looked very good. To me, this was more about the Jets, though. I mean,
but they did dominate.
I mean, the confidence that you saw out of these guys throughout the whole game was just unmatched. I mean, Breece Hall is a stud. I mean, welcome to the league, young fella. And defensively, I mean, they really didn't give Rodgers a ton of time the whole game. I mean, they look really, really good. And the Packers don't. So, you know, there is a little bit of both here. But for me, watching this, you know, as I was watching this game, for me, it wasn't more of, oh, well, you know, the Packers need to figure it out. It was like, you know, how are you going to stop the Jets? Which, when's the last time somebody said that? You know,
yeah,
their running game is stout. And pretty much right now, you know, as Zach Wilson, you know, is learning how to be a quarterback, you know, in the NFL, you just need him not to make, you know, a ton of stupid mistakes. And, you know, the Packers' offense was anemic. They didn't run the football very well at all. But to me, this was more about the Jets.
Yeah. And Aaron Rodgers was sacked four times. You know, he sacked four times. You don't really see Aaron Rodgers on his back much with that line and such. And you're right, though. You got this. They just got energy. They kept pushing forward. And they felt it. And everyone believes in themselves there. They believe in Robert Saleh. How do you say his name? Saleh, corrected. And you know what? that defense is going to put up some fits for a bunch of teams. It really is. Teams with weaker lines, they're going to take advantage of. And credit to them. Credit to Quinnen Williams, who's actually starting to finally turn around and be the guy they drafted.
Yep.
And the whole team, I mean, they really look good. And it's something you wouldn't really say. They had guy Quincy Wilson at 14 tackles this past Sunday, which is nice to see. The guys are putting in work, and it's showing up. To go into Lambeau and just dominate like they did is absolutely asinine to me.
Yeah.
You shouldn't have that happen. I think the Packers do need to, like, look themselves in the mirror. They should win the division. I don't think they will now. At this point, I've seen enough to where I see what they are. They're not staying to score points last week against Tampa Bay, who's a better defense than the New York Jets. And they haven't scored points really all year. Yeah. No one's gotten going. They've had the week two when they had Aaron Jones and A.J. Dillon. They had a good rushing attack. They just pounded the football. Looked good. Ever since then, they just don't really have an identity on the team.
Yeah.
It's usually Aaron Rodgers and the passing game, but there's nothing there.
Yeah.
So, I don't know what to do with the Packers. This is good on the Jets. They're 4-2, and you know what? If they keep playing this well, man, there's six teams now. Six or seven teams that make the playoffs this year. Six, right? Six.
Yep.
I'm thinking baseball. Six teams. That defense is carrying them right now, and it's looked good enough to where I think it will. This is the same thing for that has won Denver ball games. Because that's been pitiful for them.
Speaking of Denver, Jets at Denver.
Oh, it is Jets Sunday. Denver next week. Yeah, I'll take Jets money line next week. Sure. Russ ain't cooking.
He's not
cooking. So, look forward to that one. But good on the Jets, man. You're right. It is all. You can't really talk about the Packers this game other than they fell flat.
Yeah.
They didn't stick up to them and really just go out and want the ball game more. Matt LaFleur, it has some question marks now around him. Because this team can be bad. It can't be this bad.
Yeah.
And it's been poor.
Green Bay going to Washington on Sunday without Carson Wentz.
Need it.
That's a win. If it's not, then
need it.
Then we're going to need to have a full-blown conversation about LaFleur and Green Bay. Because that's when they need to win right now. And for the Jets, go to Denver and keep showing it.
All right. Want to go to my favorite game of the week? The Tom Terrific, who should be walking out of his house and going back to the practice field.
Got to give him a mulligan. He had to go to Kraft's wedding. He had to go to Kraft's wedding.
He didn't have to go to Kraft's wedding. What was the statement I saw? There was no punishments for him or whatever not going. He didn't go to the wedding, right? Did he not go?
He did.
Oh, he did go.
He was
Saturday. So there's no punishments against him for missing it.
Yep.
Team can't say nothing about it.
Went to the wedding on Saturday, took a private jet to the game on Sunday without his team, and they lost, but it's Tom Brady, so
can't say nothing.
Everybody keeps their mouth shut.
Yeah, they keep their mouth shut. You're getting fined. And you know what? I've had enough with the Buccaneers. You can't lose to the Steelers!
Yeah.
You can't lose to a tandem of Kenny Pickett and Mitchell Trubisky.
Although Trubisky did look very good in the fourth quarter.
I couldn't care less. You can't lose.
No, you're right.
I don't care. This is the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. They have their guys. You have your guys in this game. Am I wrong? Are they missing anyone offensively? They have Leonard Fournette playing this game. They had Mike Evans playing this game. They had Chris Godwin playing this game. They've had Cameron Brake, who rest up, son. That guy had injury. I think he's out for the year. I think Cameron Brate's out for the year. But
time for Gronk.
The Gronk return. You have these guys and the defense that's been there, that's played well. You can't lose games to the Steelers. You cannot. You simply can't. You just can't do it. I don't care what team it is, especially the team that's quarterbacked by Tom Brady. And I got to look at Todd Bowles, man. I got to look at Todd Bowles. He was not the coach last year, the same coach that brought him to the Super Bowl, not last year.
2 years.
Brought him to the Super Bowl 2 years ago, lost in a championship game 1 year ago. And you know what? I've been saying it this whole year. I don't like the Buccaneers team. I don't like their offense. I think Tom Brady looks awful. I don't care what his stats were. I really couldn't care what his stats were. This guy and this team is not going to go anywhere. It really isn't. Their wins, they've got wins against Dallas week one, congratulations. You know, whatever. Injured quarterback once again. And that's a good defense they won. It's just, you know, first week of the year. And anything happens, you win sloppy football games. This was a sloppy football game. There was nothing special really about either side of this game. But this is on Tampa Bay. And I've been hard on them. They deserve to be hard on. Because their expectations are always high. And I've seen enough of it.
Yeah, you know, early in the year, you said you were worried about, you know, this team and Tom Brady, and I pushed back a little bit. I said, give them a couple of weeks, let them get healthy.
No.
They're healthy, and we're still seeing the same. So, you know, I'm about ready to hop on that train with you. They got to figure it out, man. I mean, like you said, they were fully healthy in this game. 18 points, you know, against the Steelers, you know, with this high-powered offense that you have, and, you know, coming out and, you know, losing this game is just, it's a no-no. It can't happen. You know, all the Brady drama that, you know, we joked about, you know, there is a little bit of seriousness to that, though. I mean, we talked about how he was, you know, he seems to, you know, not be, you know, as locked in as, you know, we know Tom Brady to be.
He's not, man.
And I'm with you. I'm out on them as of right now. They got to show me something for a couple of weeks in a row because they don't look right.
The Steelers just lost 35 points the week before.
Yep.
To the Bills, but they lost by 35
points.
At the beginning
of the year, we were talking about the Buccaneers and the Bills in the same conversation.
That's my point.
Can't happen.
That is my point. And it is a true embarrassment for that. There's nothing else you can go back on other than he can't lose a game. I think you got to start looking at Todd Bowles. You got to start looking at – you got to – someone's got to get hard on Tom Brady. I know he's Tom Brady, but he's still – he's in uniform. He's your player. I know it's not how it works, but you know what? If it's not how it works, either A, figure something out with the coach, get a guy that will stick up for himself, or B, tell Tom, listen, Tom, I need your head in the game here. These guys are fighting for their lives. You're doing nothing to help this team. The whole team looks out of it. You're the leader of the team. You're supposed to be. I saw him yelling at the sideline to his offensive line, which is nothing. It's nothing. It's just game talk.
And you can't do that when you're acting how you are throughout
right,
the week.
You can't do it.
Not showing up, you know, for practice on Wednesday every week. He doesn't go to practice on Wednesdays. He has
one day off.
Misses walkthroughs because he's Tom Brady, and that's fine, but you can't, you know, be going out and, you know, yelling at your O-line when you're not showing up for things and you're going to weddings the day before game in Pittsburgh.
Right.
It just can't happen. It's terrible leadership, and we've never really seen that at a Tom, but it's bad right now.
Yeah, it's bad, and you know what? I hope it blows up on him. I really do, because something needs to change. And it's nothing against Tom Brady personally, but to a point it is. But he does need to be the guy to get the troops behind him. Does he want to be a mediocre football team? If he is going to just want to be this guy who's winning and losing games each week to bad teams that you can't lose to, I said one hot take. I don't know if I said it on here, said it somewhere else, or read it, that I think he could retire midseason. I don't know if that's still going to happen. But you know what? At this point, he might as well. He's not there. He's not with the team, and it's really sad to see because it's not fair to the rest of his players.
No, it's not.
At all.
It's not. And it's definitely not what, you know, hate him or love him. It's not what the last we want to see of Tom Brady.
No, it's not.
You know, the football player either.
Because everyone's going to lead off this year thinking he's just a drama queen and he is a diva and doesn't want to play football and is just there for the money or whatever it is, whatever it could be. And you know what? It's not my problem anymore. I've seen enough, and here's a week where it's finally come back to hurt him.
Oh, yeah.
It's finally shown. Move on to a fun game, a game that should have been played on Monday Night Football that wasn't played on Monday Night Football, which was the Bills and the Chiefs. Rematch of the AFC Championship game last year, and wow. You guys start me off, man, because I'm rambling. I gotta cool down for a second. I gotta cool down.
All right, I'll give you a second to calm down.
Lordy,
for me, these two teams are so incredibly close in terms of talent, and I mean these are the two elite teams now in the NFL. Coming into the year, you might have thought a little bit different. There might have been, you know, a couple of other teams up there with them. Right now, it's Bills and Chiefs. And maybe Philly.
Top of Philly, third.
And then everybody else. Whether you want to put Philly with them or without them, it's them and everybody else. And when they're playing, we've seen it now the last two meetings. It comes down to which quarterback is going to make the play at the end of the game. And Pat Mahomes threw that interception late, and that's, you know, and the Bills came out, you know, winning. I mean, big win for, you know, the Bills. I think if you're Kansas City, I don't think it's a major setback.
No.
I mean, an elite football team coming into your home, and, you know, you played them, you know, real hard and close till the end. Definitely a game you want if you're Kansas City, but I don't think it's a setback for them. For Buffalo, a really big confidence builder, especially, you know, with how their season ended, you know, at Arrowhead last year. But for me, it just, you know, it came down to, you know, which quarterback's going to make the play or not make the play at the end, and Mahomes didn't.
Mahomes didn't, and you know who did? Josh Allen. And
yep.
You know who's been the MVP of this league so far? Josh Allen.
Yep.
And he's looked just he should have won it last year. He had absolutely good chances to win it last year, and he's doing the same thing, putting the team on his back when he needs them, getting just gritty yards. I mean, doing it with his legs. The guy's running ability is as good as other, like any other teams. It's just a different style. And he runs hard, man. He takes the hits, which I don't know how many more he can take, but he takes the hits, and
yep.
It doesn't seem to bother him. And it's good on him. The team looked good. Their defense looked better. The whole team, but you said it, both teams in this game looked, you know, you looked like this was another AFC Championship rematch.
Yep.
Your list is what I look forward to.
The best of the best.
Yeah, the best of the best. And these are the type of games you're going to get. Just close games. Every drive is a battle. He finally got some help running the football this game. Devin Singletary had a decent day behind the sticks. 85 yards behind the line of scrimmage. Sorry, not the sticks. But, you know, and you need that. You haven't really had that so far with Josh Allen. It's usually just been his arm and him throwing 50-plus times a game. You finally see some camaraderie with everyone else. And James Cook didn't really do anything, but was their only other back to get carries. So I'm interested to see them improve on their running game. Because if there's something that a team like the Bills can actually improve on, it's running the football. And if they can run the football, keep their passing game as high as it is, then there's not many teams that can stop these guys. There's not.
A lot of people think they're going to make a move in the backfield. We'll see. I'm not totally bought in on that, but you know, we'll see. They very well could. For Buffalo, really, really, really big to win this game going into the bye. They're off this week,
yep.
So you know, you always hear about how, you know, teams really don't want to lose a game going into the bye because you just it sits with you for a whole other week.
Does.
You know, you don't have next Sunday to, you know, turn the page. You have to sit on that for 2 weeks, and especially another loss in Arrowhead, that would have been tough going into the bye. So really good job, you know, for them. And then if you're Kansas City, I mean, you're going to San Fran next week before your bye. You have a chance to also go into the bye, you know, with a win. And again, like I said, I don't think it's a huge setback for Kansas City either. But a really great game to watch. Like you said,
it was so much fun to watch.
This is what we want to see on primetime. This was a great game for the NFL.
It's a perfect game for it. I don't know what we're doing.
Yeah,
Russell, I can't see Russell Wilson anymore, man.
I mean, it pretty much was a primetime game because all the other 4 o'clock games sucked.
They did.
So
we had the Rams.
Everybody was watching this. So, but put it at the prime time then. I mean.
Yeah,
I don't know.
It's all right. We're just rambling on schedule.
You're right. You're right.
You know what? But we have a point. The whole NFL, the whole world is a point. You can't keep seeing it. Like, someone's got to do something to make the. I mean, I don't know what the ratings are like, but they can't be great. They can't be great. Maybe people are tuning in just to see how bad it really can get.
Yeah.
And that's just the fun point of it. But it's not about that. It's about the Chiefs and the Buffalo Bills, who are right now probably the favorite in the league to go back and fight for a Super Bowl, which they absolutely should be. Anything else I have for the Chiefs is just, you know, just go in next week. You lost a terrific game. This means absolutely nothing to me. And you just go battle. And
yep.
Who they play? You told me they play
San Francisco.
San Francisco. They should win that game. And they should be all right. They should be all right. 5-2. The best team in that division. The Chiefs. Better than the Chargers. Better than the Denver Broncos. Better than the Raiders. Which that division was supposed to be a juggernaut. And we were all completely wrong.
Yep.
With what our takes on that. It's been 6 weeks. Maybe something else changes. But at this point, it's the Chiefs' division to lose for sure.
Mm-hmm.
And who knows, man? We'll see. I'm excited to see them again in January. Moving on to Eagles-Cowboys Sunday Night Football game. I'm not going to really say much here. I would like to hear an outside source on just what you saw. Did you were able to watch that game? Like, actually watch the game?
Yes.
Okay.
Most of
that's
it.
That's good to see. That's good to hear. Your opening opinions about, or here we'll start, is on the Dallas side. We'll start Dallas side. What'd you like, dislike about what you saw from Dallas?
I didn't like much of anything what I saw from Dallas offensively. this shuts all the, you know, possible quarterback controversy up. Cooper Rush was awful. They were able to run the ball a little bit, you know, late in the game with Zeke and, you know, kind of get back into the game when it seemed like Philly might have taken their foot off the pedal a little bit. But offensively, they just they didn't have anything going. 18 for 38 for 181 and three picks for Rush. Just didn't have it. And, you know, if you're Jerry Jones, you're going back to Dak next week. You know, defensively, I didn't think they were awful. I mean, this Philadelphia offense is hard to stop. I mean, they had a really hard time with the RPO, you know, in the first half, and anybody will, you know, with the way that, you know, Philadelphia runs their offense. And, you know, Philadelphia is a better team. They won the game. A little bit of, you know, a late surge, you know, by Dallas, but we've seen that a couple times from Philadelphia. They kind of take their foot off the gas, you know, if they come out to a big lead, which is the one thing that scares me a little bit on Philadelphia's side. They've looked like a juggernaut, but it does, you know, they go up 20-0 and you end up, you know, 26-17, you know, still a win, and, you know, you're still undefeated, but that's the third time you had a huge first half offensively and then caught a little bit of a dud in the second half. I'd be a little bit worried about that if I was Philadelphia, but a really, you know, a good win, you know, against a division opponent, and it's Dak time.
It is Dak time. About the Eagles, man, and how their third quarters and their second half is, it's very frustrating.
Yeah.
They have outscored opponents by over 100 points in the second quarter this season, which is like the most in NFL history. Their second quarter differential spread is elite. They scored 20 of their 26 points in the second quarter.
I think against Washington, 24 in the second quarter. Yeah, so
they scored in the second quarter.
They're doing it.
And I don't know what they need to change. I don't know if it's... I have a take that... Not a hot take, but just a take that I think is very true, is Nick Sirianni can be a little bit too cocky of himself. Which, I like that in a coach, right? You think highly of your team. You want your team to succeed. You tell these guys they're good every day. And they have responded. But I'm seeing him go for two instead of making it a 10-point game, which there's no reason why we need to attempt a 2-point conversion and not make this a 27-17 game. There's no reason. That's a small thing other than just not scoring in the third quarter.
Yeah, but against good teams late in the year, that's not going
to
be a little
thing. You're very lucky that the Cowboys can't score, but what if they go down and score a touchdown? Then you need a field goal to win. Say you go 3-and-out. Now you're, oh shit. Now we're in a tough situation. And you could go and kick a field goal to win the game instead of tie the game. It's just little things. It's little things. But when they're clicking, I don't know if it's so much they're taking the foot off the gas. I really don't think it is. I think it's complacency, and that's a problem. They're, okay, we got 20 points. We're up 23. Just play ball. You know, we're going to switch things up a little bit and try some different things. More screenplays, more rushes take. They went from A.J. Brown all the way until the fourth quarter after he had a big second quarter until they went to Devontae Smith also, you know, late. But it's really ugly, and it's like they can't keep doing it. They go forward and fourth down a lot, which I'm totally behind, but they can't keep doing it. And the only thing is they don't have many great teams on their schedule this season. They're not going to see many great teams. Their greatest teams they're going to play is Green Bay.
Mm-hmm.
Who's hasn't looked good at all. And really, I don't even know. They have the Colts. They got, man, their schedule's very light.
Yeah.
It's very light. And it's I just don't want them to, because I think they're going to have a very good regular season. I wouldn't be surprised if they win 13, maybe 14 games. Seriously. I really wouldn't be shocked. And it's the same old. Until I see them dominate four quarters, or at least as soon as you come out of the second half, play just as hard as you going into the second half, because they haven't done it yet. And that's the only thing that scares me, because they've been so lethal with how their offense has been running early in the games that I kind of think they just say, wow, we're good.
Yeah.
We don't need to be great. We're good. You know, they want to execute, which that's the one thing Jalen Hurts has done in the locker room, is say that we left food on the table again, and they can't keep doing it. But the Cowboys did figure them out, and that defense is very good. So I can also chalk it up to that. I didn't expect them to blow out the Cowboys. No. I didn't expect them to cover the spread, to be honest, either. I didn't bet on it because I can't bet on the Eagles, but, I didn't expect it. And one other thing is for the Dallas Cowboys, we finally saw Zeke look good,
mm-hmm.
and that's really all I got. But we're going to move on to we'll talk about. Do you have anything else to say about that game at all? That stuck out to you?
Yeah, just one quick thing. The only good thing about Philadelphia right now is they have since they're so dominant right now, this is where they have their opportunities to figure those things out. I mean,
you're winning games while doing it.
You're going into the bye, and then you're hosting Pittsburgh, which, you know, so you have a couple of weeks now where you can start to iron these things out, maybe get it done a little bit earlier, because the later you get into the season, you want these problems to be figured out before you get to playoff football. And they are off, they do have the bye, coming up this week. Cowboys going home to play the Lions. So
this should be a fun game, Cowboys Lions. That should be a fun game.
Yeah, we'll see. I think Dak's going to want to throw for 400.
I think so.
So I think we're not going to see a ton of Zeke because, Dak's going to want to go out and prove himself, so.
Absolutely. And he should. I like Dak. He's a good guy.
Yeah.
I totally agree. But we'll talk to Monday Night Football for a little bit.
Do we have to?
Yeah, we're going to have to. we're just going to have to talk a little bit about it. Because it started off well, and I was excited. I said, wow, look at Denver. They figured something out. Russell looked great. He threw 10 for 10 completions, had a touchdown pass to Dolchik, who came back, and he's a pretty good guy, tight end, third-round tight end that got drafted. And 9 different receivers got the ball. Only thing I didn't like is once Denver actually started off good, started off playing well and throwing the football a lot, they went back to what hasn't been working, which was the behind the screen. They threw so many balls behind the line of scrimmage. I couldn't count on my fingers how many times the ball was thrown behind the line of scrimmage after they made so much progression down the field against the Chargers, who haven't been as an elite defense as we thought they would be yet. And we saw it late. Obviously, the second half, we saw them shut Denver down completely. But you had a chance to just shove it down their throats early, and they didn't do it. And I kind of keep talking about Mr. Hackett because Russell Wilson looked better. He still wasn't great. He looked better in the first quarter. But it's the play calling just pissed me off. Because the guys aren't bad. Use your Jerry Judy's and your Cortland Sutton's. You have good guys. They didn't use them much in this game. And it's sad. The defense was okay for them. I think the defense held them in the game. They gave Russell Wilson and offense multiple opportunities. The run game, Latavius Murray took over the run game. There was no Melvin Gordon. But I don't know, man. Whatever you think about this game, I need to hear, because it infuriates me watching them every single Monday, Thursday night finally look better and then go back to what they've been doing the first 3 weeks of the season.
Yeah. After the game, Hackett said that, he needs to see more urgency, starting with him, and then, they need to, execute some better plays. And I think urgency is a really good word for it. I mean, they played a really solid defensive game against a really good offensive team in the Chargers, who had their own problems in this game. But like you said, it defensively they gave their team a chance, and Russ late again they just couldn't figure it out offensively. In terms of the Chargers, they were able to get out a win. Definitely not their best performance, especially with Keenan still out, and I think he's supposed to make his return this Sunday, but with him out, you have to get Mike Williams more involved. I mean,
funny for you to say.
It is funny for me to say. For context, we played each other in fantasy this week, and Mike Williams is the reason I won, and he did not. But I mean, in all seriousness, they need to get him more involved. I mean, that guy's a stud,
yeah,
and they used Eckler a lot, and for a running back, I feel like you have to dial it down a little bit.
16 targets.
You need to save him a little bit for later in the year. I mean, the Chargers have playoff aspirations, and they didn't look very good offensively. You said it. I'm not gonna keep saying the same thing over. But they got to get them out of prime time. They're bad to watch right now, and
the Chargers. They didn't impressed me, and the Chargers are supposed to be a better team. They're supposed to be a team that's supposed to be a well-oiled machine. It at least looked better. Justin Herbert threw the ball 57 times. 57 times compared to Russell Wilson, who threw the ball 28 times.
Yep.
And they didn't look any better than Denver. Sorry, I cut you off, but I mean, it's just what it is. Talking about primetime games, I mean, these guys were supposed to win this game. They did. Right? Did they win? Yeah, they did. They won the game 19-16, but like not in any special fashion. It's the same fashion we've been seeing. And it's disappointing for that type of offense, like you said. So,
yeah. Broncos hosting the Jets, as we already talked about. So, I mean, you know, with the way the Jets are playing right now, I mean, you could be looking at another loss if you're Denver. And, you know, if you're the Chargers, you're hosting the Seahawks on Sunday. So that's a game where, you know, I'd like to see their offense get back on track and you know, do some of the things that we're used to Herbert doing.
Yeah, Seahawks. Speaking of Seahawks, there's one other game I want to just mention real quick before we hop out of here is the Arizona Cardinals Seattle Seahawks game. I know there's nothing much there. Arizona put up a whopping 9 points against the Seahawks, who are nothing special. And there's a point in time now, after watching a game like this, Cliff Kingsbury needs to get these guys going. This is a good offense. I know they lost Marquise Brown in this game late, but you have Kyler Murray, who has played at a very high level before. He's not doing it right now. He's just not. He didn't look good. He looked okay early, but as the game went on, he looked flustered. Seahawks got to him. He couldn't put up points, put any drives together. And it's time, I think, for them to start addressing their coach. I don't think Kingsbury puts them in a great situation ever, honestly. They have talent. And it's the same thing as like the Nathaniel Hackett situation, as if something's not working, you got to just go away from it. I know it's difficult because you don't have your number one receiver until week, 11, right?
Hopkins?
It's Hopkins. So just come back next week. Oh, next week. Who am I thinking of 11?
You might be...
Deshaun Watson. That's it. Deshaun Watson. Yes. Yeah, my mistake. So he's come back next week. You give it next week, and he's going to be rusty. But he's there at practice, I'm sure. Mm-hmm. There he knows the playbook. But Kyler Murray and these guys just don't look good. They don't look good at all. Eno Benjamin, supposed to be the running back to help him out. They had Keontae Ingram play in this game. They had 18 carries for 44 yards. It didn't help him at all. He had most of his damage really with his legs, Kyler Murray, running around, which is what he does best. But two fumbles, lost one. Turned a ball over, threw a pick, sacked six times. The guy for his what he is and just being so shifty, can't get sacked six different times. Took him out of field goal range a bunch of times, and the guys just look lost. And this is a team that I was not high on, but a team I expected to see a little bit more from. And right now they're 2-4.
Yeah, you brought up D-Hop. You know he's coming back next week, so you know hopefully that's a boost to their offense. But with the Brown injury, it might kind of be a little bit of a mute point at least until D-Hop gets his feet under him. Geno Smith came down to earth a little bit in this game. We saw a little bit of old Geno and
called him Prime Geno last week.
Yeah, well, I mean that's how he looked, and he came back down to earth a little bit, and Kyler and the Cardinals, they need to figure it out, man.
Yeah, they do. There's really nothing I can take away from this other than just simply quarterback play, and I love to bring up coaching a lot, and I don't like to do it. I don't like...
It's a huge part of the NFL.
...to do it, but when you see nothing and a talented offense, it should be a talented offense that should move the football, not do anything, it's tough not to. And you're right, it is. It's the biggest part of football. It's the second biggest part of football behind quarterback play, mm-hmm. is what your coach is doing, setting him up, because the coaches in this league are out 1 year. They're in and out. They're gone. If you don't perform, you're gone. That's how it works. I'm glad it's like that. I really am, because everyone's accountable. But I've seen nothing. And you can't put up 9 points against the Steelers in a division game, nonetheless, where you have an opening for this division. The Rams aren't great. They really haven't. They won, but they didn't look great. It was a close game until the fourth quarter mm-hmm. for that game. But you have a chance to really just get out and maybe steal a division here with your team. Now with D-Hop coming back, you legit have an offense here that can make some noise, and they need to figure it out quickly. The Seahawks are 3-3. I just think they won a sloppy game against a team that just wasn't up to par, and they ended up being out on top. I don't think the Seahawks have looked good either. Jason Myers, the MVP, and that's it. That's all I got from this week, man. Mm-hmm. I don't know if you have anything else you want to talk about, touch on at all. If you have anything about the Cincy game you want to talk about, Indianapolis Jaguars game you want to talk about. But that's it for me with this week, man. It's been a lot of fun football from certain games and just boneheaded decision making once again.
Yeah. Before we hop out of here, I want to get your opinion on a couple of the upcoming games for this week. Just you know.
Yeah, I gotta start tallying down our picks here. We should do
a little pick segment. Two or three games. You know, for the next week, maybe we can start doing that next week.
Start that next week, absolutely.
Jets in Denver against the Broncos. Who you taking?
Jets.
Okay, that's what I was thinking too. They won me money this week.
Yeah, might as well go back.
Colts in Tennessee against the Titans.
Tennessee.
And the high-powered Detroit Lions offense at Jerry World. Dak coming back.
Oh man, Dallas.
Last one, Tyler Heineke. Taylor Heineke. That's what Skip Bayless calls him, Taylor Tyler. At home against the struggling Green Bay Packers.
Holy, that could be an ugly game or just something. I'll give it to your Washington Commanders, man.
Oh, man.
Listen, dude.
You're going to lose money on that
one.
You're going to lose money on that one.
I'll give it somewhere. You got to. It's just Green Bay just looks so rough.
Yeah, they look bad, but they have.
But Washington looks worse. Really rough.
They look worse.
I'll give you some hope. You know what I'm saying? I'll give you some hope. I have questions for you, sir.
Yeah.
Thinking going into next week, real quick, before I pull up the week, do you have? It's not really mid season, but is there players for certain awards that have stood out to you that you think right now are in running for the award? So if you go like MVP favorite, let me hear it. After week six, anyone that stock up, stock down?
Yeah, I think you said it. Josh Allen.
Josh Allen stock up. Any other player?
I think Josh Allen. I think Lamar. If they were able to edge out a couple of these wins that they gave up, but I think he'd be up there. But right now, to me, it's Josh Allen.
Defense player of the year. Mid-season update. Well, third of the week season update.
I don't know, man. I mean, I hate to be a homer, but Darius Slay he's looked really good.
Oh man.
I don't know, man. I'd have to look.
I'd probably go Micah.
I'd have to look. Micah's been a stud, but I'd have to look. I'd have to look deeper into the numbers. Don't really have a great answer.
That's fair. We don't have to go into awards now. It's too early for awards. I was just interested. That might be a fun thing to do as we go down the line, get in the middle of the weeks here. Something we can do is just a pick segment. Maybe we can get somewhere where we can give our just stock up and stock down certain players that we could see move up in award standings and stuff like that. One game. Sunday Night Football, Dolphins Steelers. Let me hear it right now.
Whew.
Skylar Thompson.
I think Tua actually. There's a chance.
Or Tua come back. I think he has come back.
There's a chance. But regardless, give me the Steelers in Miami.
Interesting.
I don't care who's the quarterback for Pittsburgh. I don't care who's the quarterback for Miami. Give me the Pittsburgh Steelers on the road. Najee Harris breaks out.
Ooh,
we see
Najee
a big
Harris
game out of him for
about
the first
time
this year.
About time. That'd be huge. That would be huge. That's going to do it, man. I think it's going to do it. I don't think we have any other things to talk about. Then we basically ran through the the things, the talking
things
topics of the week. Yeah, the things that matter, which is good. But, once again, we will continue to do this weekly. Looking forward to it every week. It's always been a blast. I say it every single time, but it's always been a blast. It really is. It's fun.
Oh, yeah.
I'm waiting for some I need good rivalry from I need the Commanders to step up so I can actually have fun with
so we can argue a little bit back and forth.
But so be it, man. So be it for what it is. I appreciate everyone for listening. Thank you so very much, and I will see you next time.